What's up, freaks? Listen, Matt and I have been running the show for 7.5, almost 8 years. We've created an incredible community around RHR. We enjoy coming back to the show week in and week out. And that's because we know that we're talking to other Bitcoiners when we're on this show. We know most of you have been holding for years alongside us. And most importantly, we know you didn't stack just to liquidate. We know you're hodling out there. But hodling means your wealth is locked up. Traditional finance wants you to sell, but that's not how us Bitcoiners think. And that is why this episode is sponsored by Strike. Strike built something exactly for you, which is their Bitcoin-backed loans. You borrow against what you already hold. You don't have to sell, take a tax hit. You can tap into your Bitcoin liquidity using their Bitcoin-backed loans. So go download Strike, use the code RHR. They've got an RHR code now, and you're going to get $500 of fee-free stacking to start. Download Strike. Use the promo code RHR, $500 fee-free stacking out of the gate. Go to strike.me, check it out.
This rip of RHR was brought to you by our good friends at CoinKite. They produce the Cold Card Q, my favorite hardware wallet. It's got two secure enclaves. It's got a full screen, full keyboard here. As you can see, if you're watching, if you can't watch, just imagine something that looks like a BlackBerry. It allows you to create private public key pairs offline in an AirGAT fashion. You never have to connect the Cold Card Q to an internet device. You can sign transactions and PSBTs remotely in the most secure fashion. If you're a Bitcoin Power user and you're looking for the best security, go pick up a Cold Card Q and go to coinkite.com. Find the Cold Card Q there. I think you can go to coldcard.com as well. Use the code RHR for 5% off. Step up your security. Get a Cold Card Q.
This was also brought to you by our good friends at Stackwork. If you're looking for a great way to make KYC free sats, Stackwork has bounties. Go to stackwork.ai, find their bounties page and contribute to the bounties. You can make Bitcoin KYC free for completing the bounties. If you're a developer looking to scoop up some easy sats, go check out the bounties, contribute to them and stack some sats. Stackwork.ai.
This rip was brought to you by our official electrolyte sponsor here at RHR, Salt of the Earth. You've been hearing Matt and I talk about it quite a bit. I drink multiple packets of it a day. You got to stay hydrated. That's why my face looks so good. So I'm getting buff. I'm able to get to the gym more because I'm hydrated. Matt, he's looking incredible. I'm sure you've all noticed it. You want to know why? Salt of the Earth, baby. Go to drinksote.com. Use the code RHR. And you're going to get 15% off. I'm dead serious. It's made my life way better. My wife, she's right behind me right now laughing, but she's laughing because she knows it's true. She drinks like 7 a day. I drink a few a day, maybe 7 a day too. Matt, I don't even want to tell you how much he's drinking. It's good. It keeps you hydrated. It keeps you alert. Keeps you ready to go. DrinkSote.com. That's DrinkSote.com. Use the code RHR for 15% off any order.
You've had a dynamic where money's become freer than free.
If you talk about a Fed just gone nuts, all the central banks going nuts.
So it's all acting like safe haven.
I believe that in a world where central bankers are tripping over themselves to devalue their currency, Bitcoin wins. In the world of fiat currencies, Bitcoin is the victor.
I mean, that's part of the bull case for Bitcoin.
If you're not paying attention, you probably should be.
Q4 2025 GDP, 50% of estimates. Blue Owl, private credit fund, gating redemptions. Bitcoin, fear and greed index at 9. Things are crazy out there. Looks like World War III is starting, and they're going to tell us about the aliens at the same time. What was really in the Epstein files?
The alien shit is definitely, I have it on the list, but it's definitely a distraction from Epstein, right?
Oh, dude, I have I went full Marty Jones last night. I actually independently thought of this 2 days ago before I tweeted out last night, like with everybody going to the Strait of Hormuz, prepping for World War III. Like, I think they're all just meeting there. Like, all right, the Epstein files are out. We're all implicated. Here's how we're going to disclose aliens to the world.
I mean, it doesn't have to be that complicated, right? They could just be using it so people talk about something else.
Yeah. Crazy times. Crazy times.
Are we live on Nostra right now?
Let me check.
Oh, my.
Definitely live on YouTube. Doesn't look like we're live on Noster.
Let me see if I fuck something up. Restream.
Lake Surf. Lake Surfer 1E is saying no. Oh, there it is. I see it. I see
Are
it.
We live now?
Yeah, I see it.
Yeah, it looks like I did it right.
Yeah, we're live. Went live a minute ago. Just took a while.
Yeah, I think, I mean, it seems awfully convenient, right? They had like Obama say like his little comment, and then it gave Trump a, because they're all implicated. Like the Dem elite, the Republican elite, they're all implicated. So they're like, okay, Obama, say this like little piece on the interview, and then Trump will have to respond to it. And then Trump can be like, I'm not being proactive here. I'm just responding to the questions people are asking.
You think Matt Pines is picking shit today? Disclosure is upon us.
He's definitely very excited. Our main alien friend. Okay, yeah, we're live on Noster. I don't see anybody in the live. Oh, yep, Lake Surfer's in the live chat now.
All right, we're live.
Wild times, man. Wild times.
Well, times, it's a Friday rip, Friday pre-noon rip. Got my coffee. I've had back-to-back calls this morning. Synapse is firing. Agent working in the background. All is well, despite the craziness going outside in the world.
Yeah, so I took your advice, by the way, and there still needs to be, it's still a little bit rough around the edges. But the reason we're ripping on Friday, and you can hear the baby crying in the background right now, probably, is because I'm traveling to visit family. My son's great grandmother, which is very exciting. So I've been feeding my robot links throughout the week. And then I was like, just put it in a nice list with titles. And the titles are like kind of questionable. So I need to work on it a little bit, but even just like that little improvement of just, okay, handle the formatting for me and pull out the relevant aspects of these links I've provided you and make titles makes my life so much easier on a week to week basis.
Yeah. I have a Google sheet that I gave my, my clanker read only access to. And just throughout the day, if I see something while I'm perusing the internet, I'll put it in there with a link. And this is for the Bitcoin Brief newsletter. And then we have a notes section. I'll just talk to it for like 2 minutes. Like, all right, I've just read this article. Here's what I want to cover about it in the newsletter tomorrow. And just talk for like 2 minutes. I have that in one sheet and one tab. And then my clanker has its own tab too, where it's running cron jobs and like banking reports and stuff like that. And then at the end of the day, like a little 10 p.m. after the boys are in bed, I'll just sit there and be like, okay, let's go into the Google sheet. What did you find? What did I find? What do we want to put in the newsletter tomorrow? And then boom, it's ready to go.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I basically, you told me that. And then I was like, okay, I can do a much simpler version of that for RHR since it's only once a week. So I just drop him a link. I just like RHR and then I just drop him a link and he keeps it in a little markdown file for me. And then, makes it pretty right before we go live.
Yeah.
And like I said, it's definitely needs a little bit of refinement. So just stick with main freaks, but it's a pretty strong list this week.
It is. And the list starts off with something we should all talk about. But before we get to the list, we need to give you a state of the network, the current price of Bitcoin, according to Clark Moody's dashboard, which was getting some love from Michael Saylor this week, is $67,620. Or cuckbucks, as we refer to them here. One cuckbuck is going to get you 1,479 sats. We're at a $1.35 trillion market cap. We are at block height 937,552, which means we had a difficulty adjustment, and it happened yesterday, and it was a large upwards adjustment of 14.7%. We are currently 1,904 blocks away from the next difficulty adjustment, which is estimated right now to be on March 4th, 2026, early in this epoch. We're only 112 blocks into this difficulty epoch. So take this estimated change, difficulty change, with a grain of salt. Right now, it's looking like a negative 12.8% adjustment. Blocks have been coming in at 11 minutes and 24 seconds on average since yesterday's upwards adjustment. So hash price got crushed yesterday. Price again hovering around $67,000. If you have high electricity cost and non-performant machines, it's hard to be a miner right now. But I do think it is important to highlight that we had a massive downward difficulty adjustment right before this, which was the second largest since the Chinese mining ban, or the largest since the Chinese mining ban. Summer and Logan, just pull up this tweet because I think it is okay for us to do a victory lap in this context, because there were a ton of people when we had the 11.7% downward adjustment a couple of weeks ago saying, look, the quantum fund FUD is scary miners. All the miners are pivoting to AI compute. Bitcoin is screwed. And if you actually knew what was going on, we had a winter storm in the US. And so you had a ton of miners participating in demand response. And then on top of that, you had some miners that probably had to shut down their operations due to all the ice and the fact that their operations were literally disrupted by the storm. Not participating in disruptible load demand response programs, but they literally couldn't get to their data centers. But
and like shit was frozen and stuff.
Yeah, the weather changed, things warmed up, things thawed out, machines went back online, and we just had a massive upwards adjustment. And so to all those people out there who were saying the quantum FUD is scaring miners and they're all quickly transitioning to AI, it was the weather.
The quantum FUD isn't going to go away, though.
No.
And there are a decent amount of miners pivoting to AI, but Bitcoin will be fine.
But as I say in the suite, and I think you said it last week and the week before, if they are pivoting to AI, they're not just going to like unplug their machines and let them sit there. They're going to sell them to people that want to plug them in. Like, so at hash rate isn't just going away.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
I mean, on the quantum... On the quantum FUD piece, I mean, you saw MSTR's earning call, right?
Yeah. We didn't talk about that. It was like 2 weeks ago.
The Quantum Security Council or whatever.
Very reminiscent of the Bitcoin Mining Council. I feel like it will meet a similar fate.
I think after BIP-110 fails and fails to succeed at their goal of controlling Bitcoin, but is successful at dividing a shit ton of the Bitcoin ecosystem, then Saylor and BlackRock will try their quantum fork after that, and then they will fail as well. And well, I think that's what we have in store for us for the next 2 years, 3 years.
The order of operations, BIP-110, mm-hmm. and then quantum fork.
I mean, if you think about like what were the two groups of stakeholders that were holding back Saylor, BlackRock control on Bitcoin? Like what is the check and balance? The check and balance is individual sovereign holders, Bitcoiners that care about freedom money, use their own node, hold their own keys, you know, use real Bitcoin. Very intolerant minority, proudly, as it should be. And then you had a diverse established developer community, open source developer community. So you alienate and attack the developer community, you divide the sovereign holders, and then you go in for the control piece. And I to be clear, I think they will fail, because the best part about Bitcoin and the key value prop of Bitcoin is that it makes it incredibly difficult to change by default. Forks just will not be successful without overwhelming consensus, as it should be, because updates can be malicious. So I think it will fail, but I think an attempt might be made here on the Saylor BlackRock side.
Yeah. Would not be shocked. That would be very reminiscent of 2017. And it would actually make sense. Just like an order of magnitude step up in the foes that you face. Because in 2017, it was Coinbase, it was BitPay, it was BitGo. At the time, all the elite VC-backed companies in the space that thought they could control the destiny of the protocol and how it would operate. And we fought back then. BIP 110, though.
Yeah.
I see you're going off on it on Noster. What's going on here?
Dude, I mean, look, I was hoping that, you know, this is the thing that happened in 2017 where you can like, you agree with people on 99% of things. And then that last 1%, it's just like, it's over. Cannot agree. So I was hoping we could come to a reasonable conclusion. I was trying to remain as independent as possible, particularly given, my leadership position at OpenSats. But I think that ship has sailed. I don't think, I don't think they're operating with good intentions. I just straight up do not think that they're operating with good intentions. And yes, that's not an objective take. That's a subjective take. But I think the entire point of BIP 110, so freaks that might not be aware somehow, for starters, Core overstepped their bounds last year and changed the default mempool policy on Bitcoin Core. And that stopped filtering a upper turn limit, right? This data blob consensus valid area of Bitcoin where you can put anything you want, basically. Now, that was already consensus valid. They didn't actually change Bitcoin. Who, in practice, who changed Bitcoin the most was probably Peter Todd when he released Libra Relay. And to be frank, he can go fuck himself for that. But as soon as Libra Relay was out there, it was relaying these large opportune transactions. And Core looked at it and they said, why are Core nodes blocking this? And they kind of looked at it from mostly a technical point of view. And I think they overstepped their bounds. Like they should have just not done that, especially when there's any resistance against it. So once that happened, the guys at Ocean Mining, Luke and Mechanic specifically, realized an opportunity to increase their status and control over Bitcoin. And so they convinced a mob, they riled up a mob who means well, I think, probably for the most part, but they riled up a mob into believing that Bitcoin was fundamentally changed, even though no consensus rules were changed. There was no fork of Bitcoin. So they've been doing that for a while. And then it was kind of obvious this was the path they were going to go, which is why I was very hesitant to recommend people run knots. But then they announced their fork of Bitcoin. Specifically, a soft fork of Bitcoin that constricts rules rather than a clean hard fork. And the reason they did that is not to stop spam, as they pretend it is. The reason they did it is to have more control over Bitcoin. It won't stop spam, in fact. And right now, there is very little consensus and support for BIP 110. It probably will not have significant industry support between miners and node runners and everybody, all the stakeholders of Bitcoin. And like I said earlier, when that happens, Bitcoin doesn't change. But the way they have it set up is it can have, you know, 1% of hash rate, very little support, and it can just sit there. And if it ever gets more support, it will reorg the entire Bitcoin chain. Thousands of Bitcoin transactions could be reversed, causing massive damage to Bitcoin. And what I am speculating right now, and yes, this is speculation because they will deny it until they do it, which is a convenient situation for them to be in, is they will get to that point. Their fork will not have anywhere near levels of consensus on people wanting to run it. And they will start spamming the main chain. And they might even spam it with really despicable things. I would really hope they don't. At least at one point, I had a lot of respect for these people, so I hope they don't do that. But I think they will start spamming it heavily. And then they will start threatening miners to try and do a hostile reorg of the chain. That is incredibly fucked up. That is an attack on Bitcoin. It is reckless. It is unnecessary. And that is not fence sitting. That is not, this is the same logical approach to Bitcoin, which is first, do no harm. Do not let a lynch mob pressure you into supporting a fucking hostile fork of Bitcoin. All forks are default to no to begin with. You need an overwhelming reason if you want to try and push a fork for Bitcoin, in my opinion. I would never do it personally. So that's where we're at currently. Their activation that they're going to try and force through is in September. Most Bitcoin Twitter influencers, the only thing they have going for them is popularity on the internet. So they have folded to the Bitcoin mob. They have folded to the lynch mob. If you don't agree with the lynch mob, you're quote unquote captured. The whole thing just reeks of hypocrisy. So I just want to say loud and clear here, BIP110 is an attack on Bitcoin. I'm greatly disappointed in everyone who is riling up a mob, trying to pressure people into doing it. These people will fail. History will look back on them horribly. And you can try and cancel me, but I don't really care about your fucking popularity contest. I do not give a shit. Bitcoin is the best money. We need to accelerate freedom money. The enemies are at the gates. And it's now or never. My family relies on this shit. Marty's family relies on this shit. Freak's family rely on this shit. And we're not going to go down without swinging. You will fail.
Yeah. I mean, I've been saying this since the opportunity. I think I co-signed what you said. I don't think it was a great decision by Core to push through that policy change. But again, I've been pretty consistent with this since I was at Bitcoin Plus in Austin last year. So almost a year ago. Like, if it's consensus valid, like, yes, the policy may change and many people may not like it, but it's consensus valid. Like, I don't know why we're squabbling this much. And to your point too, like BIP10, I've seen the lynch mob. They've been in my Menchies, and you just haven't convinced me that this is worthwhile or advantageous successfully. And so that's why.
No, they've done the opposite.
Yeah.
They've done the opposite. They've tried their hardest. It was never about convincing. They've tried their hardest to alienate us and make us their enemies. And now
we're captured.
They have to deal with the fucking result. They have to deal with the fucking result. That's how it's gonna go down. It's really disappointing. It's really disappointing, but it is what it is. And I've said this many times, and I'm sure the previous part will get clipped out of context without this part. But once again, I'm not happy with what Core did. I think the answer here is more implementations and more choices for Bitcoin. I don't think Core should control Bitcoin, and I don't think they do. And I don't think Luke and Mechanic should control Bitcoin. Unfortunately, they don't either. And we will keep it that way. And the best way to stop that from happening is to give people that care about Bitcoin, that are working on Bitcoin, talented people, an ethical, transparent, reliable way of getting funding. So they don't go to fucking Epstein to get funding. So they don't go to get, you know, an investment check from Jack Dorsey to get massive salary to attack Bitcoin. So you can actually have independent thought in Bitcoin, and node operators can have more choices. Because you can't just, this whole idea of like defund all dev operations movement is just, it's a fallacy. Because if you don't provide them that path, they will take a much worse path, and Bitcoin will be worse off for it.
Agreed. And just a point of clarification too, you said they'll reorg the whole chain, just for semantic sort of accuracy here. They won't be able to reorg the whole chain, but I think if they got significant hash rate, they could disrupt probably like the better part of a day's worth of blocks and transactions.
Well, it's from the point of activation. So, like, by the way, Udi, all those Taproot Wizard guys, they can all go fuck themselves too. They said it would actually make their previous inscriptions more valuable because it would be, you'd have to do a different path to spam the chain. So those would be unique and rare.
Here we are stuck in the middle with you, with a bunch of assholes surrounding us.
It could be longer than the way they have it set up and their goal right now. And once again, they've been very careful about what they say publicly, but their goal is to reorg the chain. And it could be a week. Just imagine what kind of damage that does to Bitcoin. If you are in a situation where people that care more about controlling Bitcoin and their own ego would rather reorg.
Their own subjective view of what it should be, too, right?
Sure. They want to control Bitcoin. Will rather reorg a week's worth of Bitcoin transactions while gaslighting us and tell us they care more about Bitcoin as money, but they want to disrupt a reverse a week of Bitcoin transaction, if not more, if they don't have their way. So how does a reorg work? I see Prophecy saying, okay, so look, it's a very clever attack, the way they have it set up. So BIP 110 restricts the rule set of blocks, right? So every block that's valid on the BIP 110 chain is valid also on the existing chain. And so if BIP 110 actually had overwhelming consensus, let's say 75, 80, 90% of the network supported it. It's hard to calculate until it happens, but we're very far away from that. What would happen is everyone would just basically start accepting these more restricted rules, and a bunch of Bitcoin transactions that were previously valid wouldn't be anymore, and you couldn't use those in the future going forward. No past transactions would disappear. And that's why when certain things have had overwhelming consensus, the community has gone the soft fork route because it's backwards compatible. And if there is actually consensus, it's relatively clean, much more clean than a hard fork. But when you have a soft fork that's getting pushed by a very small amount of people loudly with cancel culture and lynch mob tactics, you end up in a situation that BIP 110 gets force activated before anyone even thinks there's consensus. So at least in past soft fork attempts, there's been an attempt to make consensus and see that there's consensus and people want to do it. In this case, it's actually probably the opposite. I don't see any consensus building. I see just, you either agree with us or you don't agree with us, but we're going to fucking do it. And you can go fuck yourself. You're captured. You're a pedophile. That's what I see right now, quite frankly. And you can go fuck yourself for it. So in that situation, what happens? You have the BIP 110 chain will be very slow to make blocks, but it will be making blocks. The regular chain will be going. You'll have a chain split. You'll effectively have two chains. You can't have any kind of market dynamics that trade against them because there'll be no replay or protection or anything. So
protection is a very big, important detail here.
You're stuck in this hell. You're like trapped in the hell with them, right? So they're making small blocks. Now, they're making blocks slower than the main chain, but they're still making blocks. Now, this is where it comes in. This is where the speculation comes into play. At that point, any reasonable person that cared about Bitcoin would just say, okay, there wasn't consensus. Maybe we'll try again later. Let's move on. Bitcoin's bigger than us. It's important. You know, it's important that we have this neutral money. And, you know, we didn't get our way this time and that's fine. And they would just move on. Now, these people are incredibly ideologically motivated. Their leaders want control and they will not back down. So what they will do in that situation is probably similar to what Roger Ver did during the 2017 round, which is they'll spam the hell out of OpperTurn on the main chain. And it might include some really despicable shit. Then, once again, speculation. Then they will threaten miners and tell the miners, if you don't do our chain, then you are committing crimes or doing this. They're just going to go after all the miners. And if at any point they get more hash rate, significantly more hash rate on the BIP 110 chain, it will wipe out the original chain. It'll just completely wipe out. All those transactions will be reversed. If you deposit an exchange, reversed. If you made a transaction, you know, you went and bought coffee or something, reversed. All those transactions will be reversed. Anyone running Lightning nodes will be at risk of fund loss. There could be significant damage to the chain at that point. And they understand game theory enough to be very damaging because they believe that if they can get, you know, 10% of the hash, 15% of the hash to move to BIP 110, then the other miners will start freaking out because it also reorgs their mining rewards. So if they can get any kind of momentum through their legal avenues and their threatening avenues and all this other shit, they believe they can then get enough momentum to eventually reorg the main chain. That is the goal. That is the goal here. It is incredibly reckless. Once again, it does not stop spam. And it's incredibly hypocritical because these people say, oh, you shouldn't have a small group changing Bitcoin. And they are trying to push through a hostile fork of Bitcoin that significantly changes it. So that's where we are right now. Activation is set for September. It will fail. I am disappointed. It is what it is.
It's, I guess we'll be talking about this, but it's reckless on other levels too, because if you look at this, Wicked was pointing this out. Apparently there's a Telegram group or something and people are becoming aware, about just like the activation method. So before the unconditional activation at block 965,664, there's a mandatory signaling window between blocks 961,632 and 963,647. So like 2 weeks before activation. And during this window, BIP10 nodes reject any block that doesn't signal BIP4 in its version field. So you're just like immediately just rejecting anybody that doesn't signal, I want this.
Yeah. No, it's an attack on Bitcoin. It is very clearly an attack on Bitcoin. And us voicing this opinion loudly is not good for our quote unquote careers. It is not good for the popularity contest on the internet. But none of that fucking matters. What matters is Bitcoin.
We don't care about the popularity contest, believe it or not.
I think the best part is these fucking Karens trying to get me fired. When I am a partner at 1031, can't fire me, bitch.
How can you get
and
fired?
And I'm the co-founder of OpenSats. I'm a fucking volunteer at OpenSats. So this is what it looks like. You guys can have fun attacking Bitcoin. I expect apologies when you realize you were in the wrong. I don't think you will actually apologize, but you should. And you can go fuck yourself. I'm sick of it. And I was hoping there'd be a happy path. There is not going to be a happy path. And that's where we are.
Yeah, I'm trying to find it. There was also some like consensus bug in the sort of implementation they put out.
That a core dev gave, like, reported the bug to them.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's why I think it's reckless in another aspect, too. Like, this code base is not going to be audited thoroughly. Like, yes, Luke obviously has his hands in it, but he's not infallible. And luckily, there are core devs trying to audit it in case it does go through and saying, hey, like, if you do this, you're going to completely fork this aspect of Bitcoin. But yeah, I think it's reckless on many levels. And I don't...
Let me be clear. Bitcoin that is controlled by a small group of Bitcoin core devs, or controlled by a small group of Bitcoin Knots devs, is worthless. It's worthless. The whole value prop of Bitcoin is that it's not controlled by anyone. So whether you're Sailor or BlackRock or Knots or Core, you can go fuck yourself. You're not changing Bitcoin. Bitcoin is the best money if we can keep it that way. And fortunately, it is very resistant to change by default.
Yes. Yeah. The hypocrisy here, where it's like,
I mean, I love the.
I don't want you changing Bitcoin, so you need to do this and change Bitcoin, or bad things are going to happen. It's like, what?
I can go down a fucking huge list of hypocrisies. One of the best ones is Jack Dorsey funded OpenSats, so I'm captured by Jack Dorsey. Jack Dorsey also funded Ocean Mining. The big difference between his funding of Ocean and the funding of OpenSats is Luke and Mechanic are taking a massive fucking salary from his money. And guess what? I took fucking nothing. So stop being a fucking hypocrite.
I guess from now on, it's going to be a recurring theme. We're in the trenches now. We discussed this before we went live. Like, I've been a big like, maybe I'm misread the situation. I've been like, it's not that it's a nothing burger, but it seems so sophomoric and poorly and sloppily run. I was like, there's no way that this is an actual threat. But you seem describing how they've set it up. It is very creative. So beware, freaks.
I see a comment in the live chat. What's my view on arbitrary data? My view on arbitrary data is that it can go fuck itself. We shouldn't have non-monetary transactions in chain, but it's unavoidable. And BIP 110 doesn't fucking fix it. And me and Marty have spent years publicly in the space working and not shitcoining. We've never taken the easy route of shitcoining or scamming people. So this idea that all of a sudden we are shitcoiners because we accept the fact that BIP 110 does not stop spam is bullshit.
Yeah, Logan, pull it up. Reardon Code was like calling this out earlier. And so having a conversation with this guy, Jim, if you try to restrict what other people put in the Bitcoin transactions, you're playing at censorship. I don't look inside other people's transactions. And Jim responded, it's just limiting data size to optimize Bitcoin, no filtering based on interpretation of the data. But whatever you want in that optimized transaction and spend Bitcoin however you like. And Reardon Code points out, doesn't seem like you've actually read or understood the BIP. It does not limit data size in transactions, only limits how that data is formatted. In this, it polices the content of other people's transactions. So it actually does let arbitrary data into the chain. It's just they have a preference on what data actually gets in and what doesn't. So it is.
Yeah, it's just bullshit. Yeah. It was never about spam. Spam fucking sucks. The native Bitcoin spam filter is fees. And unfortunately, all the people that are trying to cancel us and are loud about Bitcoin being money don't use Bitcoin as money. So fees have not been that high. So that's where we currently are at. Unless you want a centralized fucking group of people choosing what transactions go into Bitcoin and what transactions don't, the only alternative is that fees dictate the cost of these things.
Yeah.
I mean, do you know how Gmail handles spam? They just fucking have a group of woke people deciding what is fucking spam and what is not in your email filter. That's how they handle it.
So you're saying BIP 110 is akin to that?
Yeah, they want to make Bitcoin Gmail, but instead of Google controlling it, they want Ocean Mining to control it.
Here we are. Beware, freaks. We've got other stuff to talk about this week. I'm sure this won't be the last time we talk about BIP 110. On to things you should be aware of as well. We were talking about our clankers earlier. Big fans of OpenClaw, but you should be aware of some of the LLM providers that you're interacting with. You can open this, Logan, but it comes with music. It actually is a pretty sweet website. This is like the coolest.
It's also both really cool formatting, and I just wish it was just like a plain text markdown file.
Right.
Go back and forth on it.
Yeah. But essentially, there's a group of what we describe as white hackers. They're not happy with Discord's basically push to KYC their users with sort of legal document and biometric verification. So they're doing some sleuthing to figure out what's going on there. And while they were doing that sleuthing, they figured out that OpenAI, the U.S. government and Persona, which is the KYC AML sort of surveillance company that's doing all the ID verification, have basically created this massive digital panopticon where you KYC where persona, your accounts are tied to your personal identity. And then the companies that are using persona for this verification are then sending the information right back to the U.S. government. And so they found that OpenAI specifically was doing this, but you can just assume that any company that's using persona for this KYC AML verification is doing something similar.
Wasn't there a list of companies that use Persona that was released too?
Yeah, let me find that.
You want to read the list? And to be clear, like these big tech companies, the AI companies, they're all doing like such dirty shit behind the scenes. I mean, what it came out that Anthropic was like they had Claude was being used for the Venezuela attack to secure Maduro. there's a lot of dirty shit happening behind the scenes. This should not be surprising to people. I bet you it's a lot worse than this. And this is why open source AI tools are so important. This is why local LLMs are so important. Being able to self-host this stuff, being able to have many different providers offering it is key. And by the way, I'm getting some reports that my mic quality is bad. I'm sorry, guys. I'm traveling. It is what it is. The show must go on.
Yeah, so here's a list of Persona's customers, OpenAI, Discord, LinkedIn, DoorDash, Etsy, Brex, Coursera, Carasoft, Swan Bitcoin, Mercury, Wealthsimple, Branch, WeTravel, Grailed, Ease, Stifel Financial Corp, First Republic, Fire, and Flower Holdings, Serbia Global. So a bunch of companies there on that list.
Many and you have to assume. Yeah, go on.
Many of which I use. So I'm like, shit.
Yeah. And when you notice, when you sign up for these services, like if you try and get an Anthropic subscription, they require phone numbers and they block known burner numbers. They want to connect your identity to this shit. And when they tell you they're going to delete your data, they're lying to you. They're not deleting any shit.
Well, they actually made the delete it. It's only after they send it to the government where the government
probably
doesn't delete it.
Assume they're not going to delete any of the shit. If you hit a CCP model, the CCP is not going to delete it. If you hit a big tech model, the big tech and NSA are not going to delete it. They want your information. Data is what they're monetizing on. And this is the clear path that they are taking, which is once again why the open source tools are so important here. Because otherwise, we end up in a situation where slave tech is just way, way, way more effective than freedom tech.
Save us, Maple AI. You're our only hope.
Yeah. I mean, in all seriousness, I love what the Maple guys.
That is the alternative. Like, you need these LLMs running in secure enclaves. Open source models, not pinging back to the server, no KYC to sign up.
Yeah, it's a balancing act. We need all the tools, right? I think we need it to be easier to self-host. We also need, when you're not able to self-host, you should be able to hit these things in a relatively secure and private way. That's why I think Maple's doing a really good job on that front. You need all these things. And just a reminder on how this is not speculation, Sam Altman is also behind, of OpenAI fame, is also behind WorldCoin, of scanning everyone's fucking eyeballs with their orb for their shitcoin. And it's all the same funders, you know, A16Z, all these guys. It's one big group chat that we're not a part of, and they want to enslave you.
Yeah. Well, that's the other thing, too, with the Epstein stuff. Be prepared for a Hegelian dialectic framing, problem, reaction, solution. Epstein files are out, everybody's corrupt, we need to fix this, and the way we're going to do that is to make sure everything is verified and we have the AI tools to make sure none of this corruption exists, so everybody funnel into this e-verify system, and we'll prevent these crimes moving forward and end up full-blown Minority Report.
And by the way, I'm like trying to educate myself more on this AI stuff because I've come to the conclusion that, by the way, Marty was definitely right on this front, hand up, that it's incredibly important and that we need to make sure we win this war. So I've been listening to more podcasts and like listening to the leaders in the space on like what they are thinking. And I listened to that Dario of the co-founder of Anthropic on Darkesh podcast.
Yeah, it was a good one.
And I got into a fight with someone in our AI group. We have an AI signal group. Where some people are getting one-shotted and other people are like trying to learn things. And,
one-shotting is going on. You guys got to be careful with these things. Don't get emotionally attached to them.
You should go listen to the Dario. If you haven't, go listen to the Darkesh podcast. I don't know. This guy supposedly has like
he's the best AI conversations. Last years because we've done like the tip of the spear of having all these AI innovators on and being early to the theme.
But Dario literally says in it, he's like, this tech will be great for the Gates Foundation. Like, okay, bro, that's not your friend. That guy's also an enemy.
Yeah.
Don't let them play you with like the, oh, Sam Altman is obviously pure evil and demonic, so Anthropic is the good guys. No, they're not. Google isn't either. Grok isn't either.
Winsome
Hacks. You can't trust any of these motherfuckers.
Winsome Hacks has a good point here in the YouTube comment. Don't use Anthropic. Remember FTX, the effective altruism cult, the same sort of people are behind Anthropic and Claude. Lots of publicity, not impressed. In my opinion, they will end up causing a crash. Yeah, the effective altruism people are all up in Anthropic. And hand up, I do use Claude. It is very valuable, but these frontier open source models are beginning to compete. And again, we just, like in the freedom tech space, as it pertains to AI, we just need to begin. I think the models are there. The sort of connecting tools are there. We just need to package it in a way where it's it has feature parity with these closed sourced models run by these hyperscalers. I think we can compete.
Yeah, I just want to be clear here. Like a lot of the best open source models right now are coming out of the CCP. And I have something in the notes. The using their hosted options does not solve this problem. You know, Kimi themselves came out with a really cheap, really easy to use OpenClaw competitor where you can just use it in the browser, super easy to use. Everything you do is going to the CCP. The cool part about what they're doing is it is also open source. So people like Maple can run it. You can self-host it yourself on your own hardware. You have that option to you. But just hitting their hosted stuff is you're just picking a different enemy. It's just you have someone else that's enslaving you instead.
Yeah. Beware. Before we get too far into the show without reading, before they stack up, we got some zaps in the live stream. Lake Surfer, 21,000 sats. The pedo politicians are not going to save you, freaks. Stay humble and stack sats. Cosine. Sean, 21,000 sat zap. No message. Thank you, Sean. Soap Miner, 42,424 sats. Palindrome zap first. Code RHR has been used 21 times so far this month in February. Those are rookie numbers. Got to pump those up. Second, Florida Justin won the contest. Appreciate you, freaks. I mean, 21 times. I mean, you're averaging a little over one order per day with the RHR code. I think that's pretty good for a humble tallow soap company there, Soap Miner.
I just got a new care package from Soap Miner. Awesome. Thank you, sir.
Mav 21,000 sats zap. You've got a Mav 21 story in the list. It seems like we should mention it now.
The list is like all these very interesting stories. And then the last thing is just a bullet point that just says Mav 21. And Marty's like, why is Mav 21 listed there? Well, besides the fact that he's a ride or die freak, apparently his sister's a teacher. And she brought one of the Aranet CO2 monitors into class. And it was really bad. The CO2 was spiking like crazy. You know, all her kids were mentally deficient because they were lacking fresh air. And she opened a window to make it better. But it turns out the entire school now is talking about CO2 levels. And these are just the little things that freaks do.
We did.
Just the little wins out there.
You're helping the youth in indirect ways. And you love to see it, you know, starting conversations. Pumping too much CO2 into the kids while they're sitting.
I mean, I think that's so cool. He texted me. He's like, bro, the entire school now is talking about it.
Good. We should be talking. We should be having more CO2 level conversations just as a society in general. Think about the improvement in the quality of conversations, the quality of thinking that we could have if we were just cognizant of how much CO2 exists in the spaces we're operating in, you know? One more 21,000 sat zap from our good friend Sawzall. No message. Thank you, Sawzall. Thank you guys for zapping. We've got a big list. We wanted to keep this tight. We're only one story, now two if we include Mav 21. This is pretty big story. Blew up. Hate to say it, but we've been warning about this. When economic conditions get bad and centralized power begins to lose their grip over their power, they overextend and try to make it so individuals can't escape their grasp. And it's happening to the Dutch, where lawmakers have approved a 36% tax on unrealized crypto stock and bond gains, which is completely nonsensical. And so in the Netherlands, it seems like they're passing this law. I think it goes live in 2028. And between now and then, they're going to try to prevent people from leaving too and hit them with like a retroactive unrealized cap gain tax, even if they get out of the country.
That's what I was going to say. Like, it's kind of, first of all, it's ridiculous that you're trying to steal people's money and it's horrible for your economy. But if you are going to steal people's money, why are you giving them multiple years notice? That seems even dumber. Like, you got to lock them in the prison and then steal all their wealth.
Yeah, but I think they have like a workaround with some like retroactive clawback that they're going to try and institute. But this is insane. I mean, we've talked about unrealized cap gains tax. I think Biden administration or AOC or somebody here in the United States floated it. And we discussed it with them, and it's completely economically nonsensical. It doesn't make any sense. And
it's savings theft, and it creates a vicious feedback loop where people have to sell illiquid stuff that makes the price go down even further, and then they have to sell more, and it kills the economy. And to be clear, the original evil was accepting realized cap gains tax, which is also savings tax. But at least at that point, you have liquidity. But still, it's also savings tax, which is the most predatory thing ever. You inflate the currency and then you tax savings, which is wild that that's just accepted. And the PSYOP term is calling cap gains tax instead of calling it savings theft or savings tax.
I like that.
And by the way, like, this is just immoral and unethical and fucked up. But I think it's worth noting that most of the arguments against it in terms of, oh, it's illiquid, that's why we should only do realized cap gains tax, blah, blah, blah. Like, Bitcoin is actually uniquely suitable for taxing unrealized cap gains because it's liquid 24/7, 365 trading. If all your wealth, like we're seeing in California right now, if all your wealth is in startup equity, for instance, and your startup is valued at $1 billion, you're not actually liquid. You don't actually have $1 billion. You don't even have a fraction of it. And if the people that are buying your equity because you need to pay the tax know that you have a gun to your head, they will also give you a way worse deal. So Bitcoin doesn't have that problem, but it still should be resisted like crazy. And I think we should go a step further. We should be repealing all cap gains tax across the board, not just Bitcoin, everything. We should not be taxing savings, period.
I want up to you. Get rid of the income tax. Get rid of all of it.
Like, yeah, we're gonna have taxes. I agree. I'm with you.
Like, I'd be in favor of no taxes, but if it's like, all right, we need some taxes, the only taxes I'm in favor of are consumption taxes. It's like, all right, if you consume something, like, and you want to do that, you think it can help you build a company and deliver goods and services to the economy where you're going to make money off of that. And you want to take the risk and consume a good, maybe pay a little tax on that. Like, I'm all for getting rid of income.
The problem with that tax, by the way, is
aggressive.
It puts the government between you in the trade flow, right? It's like you go to a store to buy something, and the government has to sit there and surveil both the buyer and the seller to make sure that they get their VIG, get their cut, which is incredibly predatory by default. A lot of the downstream, a lot of the reasons financial privacy is inherently criminalized and fought against is because of enforcement reasons for these surveillance-based taxes. So I would actually push back and I would say, okay, maybe some taxes on the local level, if you want to like pay for schools or other local resources, it's also a lot harder to corrupt, right? Because those people will get, you know, yelled out of town if they do something totally corrupt. If you're in a small town specifically, like you're not in a big city or something, the larger government gets, the way worse it gets. And that's why, like, on, like, we've been kind of consistent on this. If all taxes were cut and tariffs were added on the federal level and the federal government only wanted to take tariff taxes, it would be better than the existing status quo, because that doesn't rely on surveillance of citizens, right? That relies on surveillance of import exports on a transnational level, which is a completely different threat model than when you're trying to surveil citizens. But of course, Trump added tariffs and then didn't cut any other taxes. So it's just a tax increase is what he did.
Well, I hate to break it to you, the Supreme Court officially shot down Trump's tariffs today, or his ability to exert them unilaterally. So that should be fun to deal with. It's like
wild times.
The unraveling of Ellsworth tariffs.
Mandible's the Bitcoin standard. It's only going to get more wild from here. You got to prepare and then learn to enjoy it. Otherwise, you're going to have a really, really bad time. You're going to have a really, really bad time. Me and Marty will be here week in, week out, calling it as we see it. But I think it gets much more wild. The opposite of the peak clown world call. It gets much more wild before it gets better.
Yeah, it accelerates. That's going to go down as my worst call of all time. What else we got here? Dutch, if you're Dutch, all of our Dutch freaks out there, I feel for you. Hopefully you people in Europe wake up and just start overthrowing your governments because they're completely retarded. Sorry if that's a bit bombastic, but we move on to the Human Rights Foundation story of the week. Coming out of China, where the push for yuan as global reserve currency, China has reiterated its ambition for the yuan to attain global reserve currency status. In remarks recently published by Qixi, the Chinese Communist Party's flagship journal, used to convey policy intentions, Xi Jinping called for a powerful currency widely used in international trade, investment, and foreign exchange markets. What's new about these remarks is not their intended ambition, but rather how clearly these ambitions are stated to the public. Xi paired this plan with calls for a stronger central bank, globally competitive financial institutions, and tighter control of systemic financial risks. For more stories like this and others, make sure you sign up for the Financial Freedom Report newsletter at financialfreedomreport.org. And yeah, I mean, building on this too, I'm not sure if you saw it, but Marco Rubio this week basically went on Fox News and conceded, like, hey, we're not going to be the reserve currency of the world anymore. Like, it's demand for currencies outside the dollar is rising and it's not likely to fall moving forward. It's probably only going to increase. So we have to prepare for that accordingly.
And by the way, when the government can't effectively tax us through inflation because they have the reserve currency on their shitcoin, that's when they really start coming for your savings.
Mandibles. I've been reading Mandibles on Nostra. There's a nice little bot out there. It's just chunking it out. So I have started reading Freaks.
Love to see it. It's about time.
Yeah, PaperQ on here. I think they had a pretty big update. So this is basically an ability to use LLMs without setting up an account. You know, you basically use PaperQ to pay per call. You can use Bitcoin. I think you can use a debit or credit card too to buy credits as well. But if you just want to keep it completely private and use Bitcoin over the Lightning Network, and they introduced AutoClaw, a model router on PPQ for your OpenClaw. So if you want a higher degree of privacy or a layer, I mean, it's like a VPN for LLMs, PaperQ is. So you have to understand that they sit between you and the LLM that you want to interact with. And so technically they can see what you're doing. But
yeah,
no, it's you. You don't have an account with them.
I mean, look, I think this still, like, it's just another example of how early we are in all this stuff. And I think people should get comfortable. They shouldn't get one-shotted. They shouldn't become dependent on these things yet. They shouldn't operate under the assumption that their bot is going to be a lifelong employee of theirs or lifelong slave of theirs and will always work forever. You should be just resetting it and, like, getting comfortable and understanding how it works is, I think, a very helpful way of looking at it. But for example, like, right now, one of the really predatory trade-off balances is, if you want to use these things in the cheapest way possible, the best way is to get a subscription from Claude, OpenAI, Google, any of them, Grok, all the CCP models, Kimi, Minimax, whatever. If you get a subscription, it's a lot cheaper. But if you don't want to have all of your data connected to your single identity, the way you have to do it is you have to pay per token. And that means the more you use these bots, the more money you pay. And the best models are the most expensive ones, and you start racking up a massive, massive bill. And I think the way long-term we solve this is you have worse local models that you're self-hosting or maybe Maple's hosting or something, that you're hitting those local models when you're hitting those local models for most of the things you're doing. And then when you need the really good models, when you need the really good compute, you hit the more expensive ones, hopefully hosted something through like Maple, where it's, you're not giving up your privacy to use them. And this is basically the first step to that, right? Where PBQ is making it very easy that if someone's running this bot, they will only hit the cheaper models. They will only hit the cheaper models unless you need to hit a more expensive model for your particular use case at that one time. And that's you know, I think the early stages of this balancing act of people that want to use it in a freedom-oriented way, a privacy-oriented way, are going to have to traverse the system.
In a cost-efficient way. Yeah.
Either way, can we say how ridiculous this is that it feels like all the freedom-oriented tools or most of the freedom-oriented tools, not all of them, there's plenty of builders out there that deserve some credit, seem to be run by Bitcoiners, right? You have like Routester, you have PBQ as a Bitcoiner, Maple's Bitcoiners. And there's not many of us. There's not many of us. It'd be nice if people that, you know, weren't in our circles and weren't our friends were also working on these problems. And once again, there are people that are, but it does feel like it's majorly Bitcoiners that are working on these types of things.
Yeah, and I mean, we both had Justin Moon on our respective podcast that we run outside of this show in the last week. And I think his message is very, very important right now, which is like Bitcoin hasn't won yet. I think there's a lot of echo chamber back padding that goes on where it's like, this is awesome. We're going to win. I'm guilty of it. I say we're going to win once a week at least. And I do truly believe that. But I think Justin's sort of positioning and his framing right now is like, hey, we haven't won yet and we shouldn't operate under the assumption that we are destined to win. Like we have to put the work in and we have to compete because there's a ton of companies that are a ton of funding, a ton of firepower and are very good at building products, marketing them. And if we're being honest in Bitcoin, particularly with the freedom oriented open source projects, we're not that good. But now that these AI tools exist, they give us the ability to compete, and we need to build things that people need and use. They don't necessarily, you can't be ideologically pure in the way in which we approach it. People just want things that work. They don't care how they work. And so we need to use these AI tools to build freedom tech that just works in people and has sort of UX and feature parity with the closed source tools.
Yeah, go listen to the Justin Moon rips Marty and I did on TFTC and Sil Dispatch. Same person doing amazing work, but very different conversations. I think you'll find both helpful. And I mean, on that note, by the way, he just released his tool that he's been working on that he discussed on the shows, Pika, which makes it very easy to securely interact with your bot instead of using something like Telegram, which is straight spyware. And once again, this works off of Nostr, right? So this is using open protocols, mixing open protocols together to develop a complementary freedom tech stack. And they're vibe coding it too. So they're using the white noise protocol, which is called Marmot. And they built an entire new app that works with the spec, designed to securely communicate with your bots and have bots securely communicate with each other, which is just awesome to see.
Yeah, and the impetus for this was the Discord ID verification news. He said, we need an alternative. I don't want to feed my bot to Discord knowing that they're sending my information back to the government in large language models. And that's the point.
And Telegram.
And Telegram. Go check it out. Like, and if you're a developer who agrees that we need these tools and we need the freedom tools as opposed to the closed source surveillance tools, and you have the ability to contribute, go do it. Hey, Ron P 5746, Black Pill episode. We're here for it. It's not Black Pill. Isn't that Black Pill? We're just talking through some stuff. It's a Friday afternoon.
Doomer optimism. I have tons of hope. Freedom Tech gives me hope. The freaks give me hope. By the way, like on the Telegram front, like Discord is rightfully getting a lot of shit for their full KYC integration. But I have a friend who was, you know, trying to use Telegram, which is the easiest way to use these open call bots. And he keeps signing up with a burner number and they keep banning his account. And why are they doing that? They're doing that because they want to know your identity and they want to track all your communications. Now, Discord is obviously significantly worse in terms of doing face scanning and all this other stuff. But that's where these phone number requirements come from. And it's going to get worse before it gets better. All these centralized services are going to add more and more KYC, add more and more control schemes. And this is why the freedom stack is more important than ever as our lives are increasingly digital.
Yeah. Yeah. Beware, freaks. Kimmy Claw, similar to what we discussed earlier with PaperQ. They have their own open claw alternative.
But yeah, they're all gonna go straight to the CCP. Yeah. I mean, look, this is always the balancing act of open source software, right? We need a thriving open source developer community so that we have tools that we're actually users of and not the product. But it also means that any of these proprietary companies can also just take the stack. And so this week we saw Kimmy release their own hosted version, and we saw Facebook release their own hosted version. And of course we saw OpenAI basically buy the lead dev of OpenClaw. So they're all going to release their own centralized versions and controlled versions that are also probably easier to use, which is part of the consistent battle that we have in terms of freedom tech versus slave tech, which is the slave tech tends to be more convenient and cheaper. I think we actually have a real chance on the AI front to make freedom tech both cheaper and more convenient and more powerful than the slave tech, which is massive, is part of the reason I'm so excited about it. I think it bridges all of this open source together in a way that's actually easy to use. And because it doesn't have walls, it can be much more powerful. But yeah, they're all going to release these things. By the way, just a little side note. It's interesting to me that Facebook released their version and WhatsApp is such a controlled, surveilled piece of shit that it doesn't work well with bots. So it only has Telegram support out of the box right now. Their own in-house messenger that has billions of users isn't supported yet because they've designed it so it's just really hard to get through without effectively like KYC through their phone number verification.
Oh, yeah. Be aware, we got more Zaps in the live stream, one of which is from Marks, co-founder of Maple, CEO, 21,000 Sat Zap. Shake your local AI maker's hand. Go do it, freaks. Shake your rancher's hand. Shake your local AI maker's hand. Caleb Gregory, 21,000, 21 Sats. First son, welcome to the world at block height 935928. Being a new dad is awesome. Congrats to you, Caleb. Welcome to
love it
dad life. It's incredibly rewarding. And I'm incredibly excited for you and your, I'm assuming, wife as you start the journey of molding young minds. It's a lot of fun.
It's a beautiful, exhausting experience. It's wonderful. It changes everything. You have real responsibilities now. Yeah. As my son tries to enter this room,
yeah,
through the door.
Yeah, I've got three male heirs myself. The middle of which has really taken a liking to ball tapping me randomly, which has not been fun, but it is sort of funny that it's a little comic relief from physical interaction with my nether regions.
Well, let's see. We should read the Zaps from last week before we forget. I'll do the Nostra ones. You do the podcasting 2.0 ones. We got 50,000 sats from Plebeianon. It's a scam against your soul. The sats aren't worth it. We have Milky with 21,812 sats, palindrome boost. We need AI agents that fully embrace RHR terminology, such as cutoff. I don't know what it says. 21,000 sats from Roaming. He did three asteroids again. Thanks for the shout out. And that's it for our top Nostra boost of last week. You can go to prime.net/RHR to see the only verifiable copy of RHR every week because it is signed with our key and hashed. So you know it hasn't been changed.
Yeah. No booster read from Podcasting 2.0 from last week. You freaks, if you're listening on Podcasting 2.0, compatible apps like Fountain, want your thoughts read on there? Give us a little boost, 21,000 sats. Guess we should do it too. Got a new show, a new sponsor, not a new show, a new sponsor of the show. Talk about them a lot. Incredible company. This episode is sponsored by Strike. If you're a long-term Bitcoin holder like ourselves, you're not selling. A lot of you guys don't want to either. Sometimes you need liquidity, bills, opportunities, life. Selling creates a taxable event and breaks your position.
Strike does Bitcoin-backed lending, borrow against your stack, keep your Bitcoin. It's a real financial institution, not an experiment. And guess what? They've been listening. They've picked up on it, and they've decided to add the promo code RHR. So you go to strike.me, don't have a Strike account, set one up, use the code RHR. You're going to get $500 in fee-free Bitcoin stacking. So go check it out. Big, big, big week for the show.
The RHR code dominance spreads. Look, I love this because as the freaks know, I will not change my recommendations or opinions based on who sponsors us. So when a company that I already recommend wholeheartedly agrees to support us and work with us, it's a beautiful blessing. It's consistent with all of our sponsors. To be clear here on Strike loans specifically, I want people to use them responsibly or don't use them at all. There's no way for Strike to know how big your stack size is. They don't want to know. They want that to be in self-custody and under your control. So users get a lot of freedom on how to use these products, but I personally would say don't go higher than 10% of your stack size. And how do I use it? I use it as a legal way to end around the savings tax. Like, I would rather not pay the US government 20 to 30% of my savings if I can borrow a small portion against it to pay fiat bills. And of course, Strike has KYC because it interacts with the regulated financial system. But as a result, it's a very useful tool when you're living in a fiat world and you need to have access to your bank account. So I use it as basically a translation layer, I like to think of it, between Bitcoin and my bank account and the greater ecosystem. I can like pay my credit card bills with it, for instance, until we're on a full Bitcoin standard. And obviously 1031 is the largest investor in Strike, and we're very involved in building out that product. So if you have feedback, we take that very seriously. If Strike fucks up and loses your money, we're not going to pull a pump and write a book about how to live an extraordinary life. We are going to live in shame for the rest of our lives and take that to the grave.
There will be an RHR.
And we will not let that happen.
Yeah. If you're stacking sats on Strike and you don't need a loan, but you want to put it in self-custody, you can go to another 1031 backed RHR sponsor, CoinKite, and get your cold card Q. You can use the code RHR for 10%. I think we got, is it 5 or 10% off? Put in the code. You'll figure it out.
I think it's 5% off. But yeah, cold card's the best. We only recommend the best. We don't change our opinions based on who sponsors us. And it's wonderful when we have the companies that we're recommending already want to work with us and support us, make this happen.
I've been doing a lot of wallet checking the last couple of weeks, and it's so cool when you're just like using the hardware wallets and using the sovereign tools like Sparrow to do checks, and it just always reminds you like, this is why I'm here. It's just so cool that you can self-verify that your money is where you think it is and that you have control over it.
It's wild. It's a superpower.
It really is. All right. We got a couple more on the list, and I need a shower before I record a TFTC episode in a little bit with Alex Leishman. Going to talk about the River Report that they dropped, which we don't have on the list, but I think maybe we should bring that up. Sam Wooter is the head of research at River. They released this report yesterday, basically an update on the Lightning Network in 2025. And the Lightning Network seems to be absolutely crushing it, at least in last year it did. So I'm looking. Here it is. Logan, why don't you pull this up?
Yeah.
So Bitcoin Lightning Network exceeds 1 billion in monthly volume last year. If you look at the first chart here, the estimated monthly Lightning volume year-on-year growth going back to 2021, August 21, it was 12 million. August 23, 78 million. November 24, 286 million. In November of last year, based off of the estimations, again, these are estimated monthly volumes. We can't know for sure due to the nature of the distributed protocol that is the Lightning Network. It's actually relatively private compared to
on-chain Bitcoin, but via their estimates, they're saying $1.17 billion in volume over the Lightning Network in November 2025 alone. Then estimated monthly transactions, same month, 5.2 million transactions. And if you look at the right side of this chart, you'll see that there were 6.6 million transactions in August of 2023. People will look at that and say, what the heck's going on there? Why is there less transactions than there were 2 years ago? And Sam highlights it in his post. There were many people experimenting with microtransaction apps, like messaging to the Lightning Network, microtransactions and games. And Sam says he's surmising that a lot of those apps didn't find product market fit. They pivoted to other other sort of message routing mechanisms. And that's why you see the decline in transactions. Those 6.6 million were predominantly made up of microtransactions for other use cases outside of pure payments. But on the pure payments, if you go down the next chart, average Lightning transaction size in USD over time, $24 in August 21, 12 in August 23, 118 in November 24. And last year that bumped up to 223. People are sending Bitcoin to and from exchanges more and more often using the Lightning Network, sending between exchanges using the Lightning Network, and the average transaction size denominated in dollars is going up. So this is exactly what I want to see. Lightning Network is thriving.
Yeah, I mean, it's just wild how quick it's grown. I mean, you can, another metric that you can look at is just if you look up the top capacity nodes and how much Bitcoin they have in their hot wallets, it's wild. You know, it's like nodes with like 600 Bitcoin in them, which I think is, it's numbers that you could only, it was hard to really even comprehend even a couple of years ago. So yeah, it's just really great to see.
It's happening, freaks. It's happening. We've also got an executive order on the list promoting the national defense by ensuring an adequate supply of elemental phosphorus and glyphosate-based herbicides. So
how insane is this?
It's just like, hey, we need the
Was this on your radar?
Yeah.
By the way, another thing that the aliens are distracting you from is that the Trump administration has basically made Roundup a national security issue. And are trying to defend them from lawsuits, which is fucking wild. That shit's in your drinking supply. It's in your food. They're poisoning us. It's bad for the country. It's good for Bayer, which is a German fucking company. And it's incredibly fucked up. I will say, by the way, I finally did a full spectrum analysis of our house's water well, and it's clean of everything. I got no glyphosate, nothing. Which is, by the way, that's the real world jackpot right there. So I'm pretty excited about that.
Yeah. I'm going to continue turning the frogs. Is glyphosate turning the frogs gay, or what is it?
No, it was something else. And he was right about it.
Yeah. Logan, you know what it is. I know you know what it is.
I don't remember what the chemical is.
Cool.
I remember why it turns him gay.
Why does it turn him gay?
Because the frogs are hermaphroditic to begin with, and it triggers the chemical process in them to make them switch sex.
Okay.
All right.
It's good to know. Good to know. Water wars next, Philly net. This has been a great rip. This has been a great rip. We're going to keep it tight. I had one other thing. Oh, like cool. We've read about this in the Bitcoin brief this morning, but it's fascinating learning and just like how intricate supply chains are and how weird they can be. And did you see this, that the Japanese toilet maker Toto is actually a critical part of the GPU chip supply chain?
Because they like have a special ceramic process to make their toilet seats, I think.
Yeah, they make this only type of ceramic that's like necessary for the silicon. And then another Japanese company.
It's insane how all these different supply chain things interact in such complex ways, and you have no idea.
Yeah. Another Japanese company, Ajinomoto, they're known for their bouillon cubes and umami seasoning. And apparently, like, one of their seasonings has a film that is necessary to put on the chips as well. Like, you can't make these chips without Toto, the toilet maker, and Ajinomoto, the bullion cube producer.
Wild.
Capitalism, man. It's wild. There's another thing in here I want to highlight too. California wants to ban 3D printers.
I mean, I'm surprised they haven't already. Fucking totalitarian commie hellhole.
We'll ban the sale and transfer 3D printers unless they are listed on a state roster certifying they block firearms from being printed.
Dystopian shit. They will be unsuccessful. Leave California if you live there. Do it for your family, if nothing else. You gotta, like I said, you gotta prepare. Things are about to get more wild from here. Secure water, secure land, strong, small communities. Think twice about living in cities, particularly if you have a family. Get your shit in order. While it's easier to get your shit in order than when it becomes more chaotic.
Yeah. Yeah.
Learn how to use Bitcoin self-custody. Stack real Bitcoin, not Bitcoin stocks. Try not to doom scroll too much.
Try not to doom scroll.
Life is short. Life is short, but the grind is long.
The aliens aren't the aliens. Project Bluebeam. Go look up Project Bluebeam. They're prepping us for Project Bluebeam. Okay. Be aware.
Look, we've talked about this in the past. We're at the point where I'm not going to believe the aliens are here unless they're standing right fucking next to me. Yeah. And that's for better or for worse. It's unfortunate that there's no faith in our institutions anymore, because if we're actually under attack by aliens, I'd rather believe them. but I'm not going to do maybe it unless aliens, I see it with my own eyes.
Maybe the aliens come, they're like, hey, you guys are run by pedo elites. We're going to get rid of them for you. Like, you guys are cool. We're going to leave you alone. Maybe that's
the good guy aliens.
That. Yeah.
Yeah, and then they're probably like backed by A16Z. It's like all the same money anyway.
We come in peace.
It's like Palantir and Peter Thiel have like an alliance with the aliens, and they quote unquote destroy the pedos for us, right?
Yeah. All right. Anything else?
I'm done.
Anything else we should wrap up with?
No, my wife is dealing with complete chaos over there, so we definitely need to wrap. I love you, freaks. Stay humble, stack steps.
Peace, love. Okay.